Medium Talk. Hola, and welcome to Medium Talk, the Black Guy Who Tips premium podcast for all the people out there in podcast land that like to pay for extra content and support the show and support us. We appreciate it. And because of you guys, we like to go out and find people to talk to that, you know, everybody's been talking about for a while. And I said, hey, man, let's get them on the show. Today's guest is no exception. It's my man. And I want to, actually, I just realized, I want to make sure I pronounce this right. It's Robert Latow, right?
That is exactly correct.
All right, cool, man. From Black Sports Online, let me just say a little bit about Rob. I have known of this dude since back in, on the days of the SOHH message board, where he would post stuff there. Like, that's how far back I know this dude has been pushing, and I'm sure even before then. What's going on, Rob? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. There's not a lot of people, that remember, those days from the, SOHH, forum days, back when it was, just a forum and the site was kind of, you know, secondary.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, almost, a decade, ago. So anytime someone says they remember me, from there, I always got to give them some love.
Oh, no doubt, man. The thing that struck me back then was your perseverance and how you took shit in stride, because a lot of people would you post something and it's a message board, and message boards can be so negative. So people would just like come at you sideways. What was the period on this, and why isn't that comma here? And I just remember you kind of being like, hey, they reading it, you know.
I understand, but one of those type of things that, they always tell you is that, as long as people care,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean they gotta like you or they can dislike you, but as long as they're showing that they care at all to acknowledge you or to acknowledge your site or acknowledge whatever you're doing, you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and definitely, the other thing I noticed too back then, and I think it's a trend of, people that go on to become successful, is that you are also taking it in stride to help you improve, because even with people that were trying to, there's some people that you can write off because they just want to talk trash and whatnot. But there was a lot of people like, yo, I dig it. Here's a way to improve. And I think the ego gets in most people's way and keeps them from being successful, because they're like, you ain't going to tell me how to do my shit. And you were like, okay, I'll look into that. And I think that's big.
Well, you can always learn. Everybody has an ego, and, everybody's feelings, especially with something that they're passionate about, get involved with things. But like you said, to improve, even your worst critic, biggest hater, whatever you want to call it, may give you a gem, but you have to be paying attention to get it. They may say 100 words of crap, but it'd be like one sentence that really, gets through to you and that you can actually use. So, I never, just dismiss what people say. Now, and sometimes, like you said, it's just so out there, and that they're just, hoping for your downfall. But, anybody, you can pull a positive from many, many negatives if you just keep your eyes open and, like you say, try to stay humble.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Now let's go ahead and talk about, your origin story, if you would, man. I've read on the site, and I've seen it for myself, but I kind of like you to articulate, what was it that really got you into the game? Because I found it fascinating, the moment that you said you were sitting on the couch, because I think a lot of Black people found that Randy Moss slander to be offensive and really didn't have a place to turn to as an outlet.
Yeah, every superhero, gotta have a good origin story. but to go a little bit even farther back, I went to school for journalism. I went to, the Ohio State, University. So journalism was something that, I had always wanted, to get into. After I got out of college, I realized, what a lot of, college graduates realize is that they just don't hand you a job, just when you leave the campus. You kind of just out on your own. So, for a few years, I did odd and end jobs, just to try to keep some money in my pocket. But, my dream was always to do, sports journalism. And I was hanging out on these, forums and message boards and things like that, just talking just like, people do now, but I was, we were doing it back then on, on forums and message boards. And, you know, we would have these discussions, you know, while the games were actually, you know, going on. And, you know, the wild card game, which was the Minnesota Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field, called by Joe Buck. I never forget, Randy Moss had a pretty bad ankle injury, and he was out there playing on his ankle injury, did an out and up move, you know, for the game, you know, it would end up being the game winning, you know, touchdown. And after, you know, he did that, he fake mooned, you know, the Packers, you know, crowd, and Joe Buck just lost his mind, started calling him a thug and a menace and a disgrace, you know, to the game. You know, without even knowing, you know, the fact that the reason that Moss did that was because the Packer fans have been known to moon the opposing team's, you know, bus when it's, you know, coming in or when it leaves, you know, after the Packers, you know, win. And it just, you know, disgusted me, you know, so much, that no one was able to, you know, articulate that, or no one was able to, you know, speak up for Randy Moss, so to speak. And this is what we were discussing in this forum, in this message board, and someone, you know, basically just kind of randomly said, you know, I wish there was a site where African-American, you know, journalists, black journalists, young black journalists could speak out against this. So not just black people, but everybody could understand, you maybe a different perspective. You know, if they understood Randy Moss, where Randy Moss came from, or why he was doing what he was doing, or why he was acting the way that he did, you know, maybe at least put something in their head, because all of the news they were getting from, you know, the mainstream media, which is a predominantly white, you know, males, older, you know, white males who have, you know, no idea or can't even, you know, relate to these younger, you know, black athletes. And yeah, that's what sparked, you know, it in my mind. And it, for me, it became, you know, simple. You know, it was a way for me to get into journalism where, you know, I was in control. I was always the type that, you know, where my teachers and my professors would say, you know, you're a little bit too off the cuff. You know, you got to stay more in line. You know, stay inside the circle is what I always used to say. You know, they always tell you not to color outside of the circle. My professor used to use the phrase that said, Robert, you always color outside the circle. But this was a way that I could do my own thing and, you know, kind of, you know, get my opinions out there and hopefully give people a different perspective. You know, at that time, you know, I didn't know what it was going to turn into, but it definitely made me feel like there was a way for me to use, you know, my journalism skills and my degree. And, you know, here we are now.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, because I think a lot of people had that same feeling, but they didn't use it as an impetus to, like, start their own thing. I know for us with the podcast, I just got tired of seeing other people have shows and stuff, and there weren't enough black shows, if any. The ones that were, they had to be centered around something. They couldn't just be people being funny and having a conversation. So that was one of the things I said, I'm going to do this, you know? Now after we started our show, we had a lot of people that, had spinoffs, people that were fans of us, people that, you know, figured out the technology. So, you know, podcasting got a little easier for people. Have you had that experience with other, like, black sports sites where, you know, they're looking at your blueprint and now they're going out there and trying to make their own black sports online, like, derivatives?
Well, I mean, that was always the secondary goal. You know, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, of course, for my own, you know, but I'm going to, you know, pay, you know, some roads for some people. I'm going to break down some barriers. I'm going to knock down, you know, some ceilings. And, you know, one of the reasons that the site is named Black Sports Online is because I didn't want to do it, you know, fake. You know, I didn't want to, you know, because you can hide behind a computer. You know, I didn't want people not to know that I was black. You know, if I was going to do it, you know, I wanted people to accept me for, you know, who I am. I'm a young, you know, at that time anyway, a little older now, but a young, you know, black man that, you know, is going to do it his own way. And my thing was, I'm going to do it that way so the people behind me wouldn't have the type of problems, you know, getting in, yeah, you know, and I feel like I've done that. You know, I help anybody that wants to be helped. A lot of the people that have written for me have went on to work for the NFL.com, ESPN, Fox, all different other type of things. You know, I've helped create a lot of the blogs that you see from young black guys and girls now. And that's something that, you know, I'm proud of. It's something that, you know, I continue, you know, to try to do. You know, my staff, two of the people on my staff, two of my main writers, Glenn Irby and Phil Jackson both have their own successful sites on their own that's, you know, growing, you know, and that's the way it should be. Unfortunately, a lot of times in our society, black people like to hold each other down. Like, you know, we don't like to pull each other up. You know, it's kind of a crabs in a barrel, you know, type of thing. You know, my biggest critics aren't white people. They're black people. So one of the things that I want to make sure that I didn't do was be like that. You know, I'm going to be successful, you know, it wouldn't have been fulfilling for me if I couldn't make other people successful. One of the things that I get the most joy out of is when I'm able to help somebody else, when I'm able to send, you know, my staff, you know, to an event, or they get to cover something or interview an athlete, because I can see the, you know, what type of feeling that gives them. And that's the way it should be. We should be helping each other because it's not a lot of us. And it's still, the majority is still, you know, old, you know, white men that are running mainstream media. So
yeah, I always kind of found the take on diversity from the sports journalism media to always ring a little hollow and hypocritical, because it's like that they were 90-something% white, like 97% white in your average newspaper sports journalism department. It's like, are these the really the people that can understand why we need a Rooney Rule or something like that? You know, it's like, are we gonna get a lot of understanding out of that, or are we going to end up with, you know, like the sports jock radio where it's like, I don't want your politics in my sports and shit like that? And if you're putting out people who are leaving Black Sports Online and going other places, if they're writing for Black Sports Online now and they're getting interviews and they're getting their name out there, I mean, it's hard to imagine why somebody would criticize that. Like, what are your critics saying about you that, you know, in wake of all this?
Well, here's the thing, and it's just the way it is. I mean, it's just, as you become more successful in anything, there are going to be people that's just not happy about that. And it really has nothing to do with me, I don't think, anyway. I think it has to do, of course, with them. You know, they're not happy with whatever, you know, they're doing. And I try to understand that. You know, we get criticized for some of the stories that we write. You know, it's funny. You know, I could write, you know, a story about, you know, RG3 and, you know, try to debunk him, you know, cheating or whatever. And, you know, I get called, you know, a gossip columnist or media, you know, the sports version of media takeout, you know, but Busted Coverage or The Big Lead or Deadspin does the same story and they don't get any criticism, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so even in the genre that I'm in, I'm still having to deal with a hypocritical audience, you know, or held to a higher standard, you know, than my white counterparts. And that has nothing to do with them. You know, they're fine. You know, they're just doing what, you know, they're doing. It's just something that, you know, I have to, you know, understand. And that's society for black men. We're always held, you know, to a higher standard. You know, we always have to do more. We can't just, you know, walk down the street anymore and not be seen as a threat. And that carries over even to the business side.
Right. Now, did you think when you first started the site that you were going to get into any of the gossip type stuff? Because what I think is funny about the fan base is motherfuckers try to say that they're disgusted by that. They can't click on that shit enough. Like, is when I talk to my boys and stuff at the gym, like, the gossip stuff does come up, man. And I remember when like TMZ and like some of these blog sites start dropping rumors on stuff, and I said, this is gonna change the sports game and the way it's done, because once the tabloid and paparazzi type people get up on you, your dirt hits the street. And athletes got used to a certain type of coverage from reporters where it's like, hey, you shoot me an interview, then I'm just going to ignore that you got two white chicks on your arm and your wife's out of town, as long as I get my interview. And that rule is gone now. So, you know, so what was it that, like, did you originally say, I want to get the gossip and the dirt here too? Or were you like, everybody else is doing this, we got to get in the game too?
You know, wasn't really either of that. Well, what happened was this, is that when we first started, you know, like you said, that wasn't out there. You know, it wasn't, you know, the TMZ and all of that stuff. It wasn't the same. I mean, you had a little of it, but not really from the sports realm. So when we started, you know, it was all, it was never just, you know, straight, you know, box score type of things. It was always a little, it had some humor to it, had some different takes, but they were more editorial, you know, style. You know, but I use the Jay-Z quote to always explain, you know, what happened. You know, Jay-Z on the Black album, he said, you know, he wanted to rhyme like Common Sense, but then he sold 5 million. He ain't been rhyming since like Common Sense. So what happened was is when those stories started to come out, you know, someone getting arrested or something like that, the numbers don't lie, like you just said. The numbers dictated, you know, that to be credible in this game or to be successful, to make a profit, you know, these were the type of stories that regardless of what anyone was saying is what they, you know, wanted to read. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why you got to kind of ignore some of your white noise that comes at you, because the stats don't lie. So the same people that are saying that it's, like you said, they're saying, oh, it's gossip and calling you all these names are the same people that are going and reading the story and putting it on Facebook and talking about it at the gym or the barbershop and everything. Now, I made a conscious effort to have a balance, which, you know, some sites don't do. I always try to tell people, if I just didn't care about sports at all and just wanted to get rich and, you know, whatever, I would just ignore what anybody said or what I thought. I would just post everything that I got, you know, in my email or what I heard or anything, and I'd be rich right now. I guarantee you, I would be richer than rich if I just didn't care, just posted, you know, whatever. But there's a part of me that, first off, loves sports. You know, I feel like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to sports. The second part is, I don't want to feel like I wasted, you know, my education. So, yes, you know, there are going to be, you know, some silly stories, and we're going to throw Ashanti up there in a bikini or whatever. But we're also going to do some investigative reporting, and we're going to break down, you know, what's going on with Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant or the Cowboys or whatever. You won't get that from 95% of the sites that are out there. You're either going to get the gossip or you're going to get the straight sports. We're one of the few that could bridge them both, and we're pretty much the only one, at least on the mainstream level, that bridges both but crosses over, you know, to the mainstream. So it just kind of happened. You know, I can't say it was one singular moment, but the people have dictated, you know, what they like. And I'm very big on analytics and stats and things like that, and I can never stress that enough to people that are starting their own site. You have to see what your people are reading and cater, you know, your articles and things to them.
Right. Now, when it comes to other people in journalism, are there people that you, like, are on your radar, people that you look to for sources? Like, I know Yahoo Sports seems to really be on everything, and Woj, I'm convinced that Woj got a time machine, bruh. Like, some of the shit he reports, I'm like, it's no way you can know this unless you, like, live with that dude or something. So like, is there anybody in the game that you watch and you're like, oh man, that person's coming up or that person's, doing a good job?
I watch everybody. I mean, I think that's a good rule of thumb, you know, is that, you know, of course you kind of vary, you know, who you see more credible, you know, than others, you know, but what I've learned is that a good story can come from anyone. And it can come from, I mean, and I know this from experience when we were a lot smaller sites, we had good stories and they would get gobbled up by the bigger sites. You know, now that we're a little bit bigger, I don't ever want to forget or that I was once one of those smaller sites. So if I see a story from, it could be from a smaller site or a smaller outlet, I try to give them credit. I always believe that, you know, just because people like work at ESPN, it doesn't make them any more credible or any more knowledgeable than, you know, somebody that, you know, may just start it up independently. So I try to keep an eye on everyone. I have a process that I go through when I'm looking for stories or looking for things, you know, to talk about. But, you know, we can go from, like I said, we can go from the front page of ESPN to, you know, something that's on Boss Up, that's something on TMZ, something on, you know, it could be BET. It doesn't matter. You know, if I think the story is interesting to my readers, I will take, you know, whatever that source, you know, may be. So it's just a matter of keeping your eyes open and, you know, doing the research and, you know, doing the dirty work to find out, you know, find content, you know, for your page.
Yeah. And some people, man, they could come up with like two and three stories, like Chris Broussard, man, like That's one of the things I really like about him is, man, you get like two or three versions and you can just pick which one you believe, man. Like, choose your own adventure.
Well, you know, you want to be, if you want to have credibility, even with the gossip type of stuff, you have to really pay attention to what you're doing. You know, you got to not just throw stuff out there and hope it, you know, it sticks, you know. One of the things that I always tell young bloggers is that when they ask me sometimes, well, how are you able to get away, you know, with writing some of these stories? And I tell them, I mean, it's been years of producing accurate information, or but maybe even more important is letting people know when you don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. See, that's a problem that a lot of people have. They're so strong in their opinions that they can't fathom, you know, being wrong. Whereas I, you know, if I'm not sure, or I think something is fishy, or, you know, I think something is up, then I, you know, I make sure that I say, hey, I'm not sure about this. You make your own, you know, decision. And I think, so when I do come strong and say, this is what I believe, or this is what I really think happened, I think people take me more seriously because they know I just don't say it about everything.
Now, have you ever had a story that you felt very strongly about that later you found out, like, man, that wasn't true, my source led me wrong, or, like, have you ever had that moment?
Sure, sure. I mean, I can't think of any quite right off the bat, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we're wrong. Sometimes, you know, we the information is from a solid source, and something changes. Doesn't mean it was wrong at the time. It just means that, you know, situations have changed. And I think if you have a good enough reputation, you know, people will understand that, you know. I can always say, whatever, at the time that I'm posting, you know, I think it's legit. You know, I will never post anything that I know, you know, is a lie just for page views. And I know a lot of people do it. They know it's not true, you know, but they're going to post it anyway, you know, to try to get, you know, those views and those clicks, you know. If I'm posting it, then I have a good belief that it's happening. If something has changed or doesn't work out or it turns out to be totally false, I'll be the first one that writes another post saying, you know, this wasn't true. You know, we were wrong. You know, that was kind of the thing that was happening with the RG3. You know, it started off, I said, I think it's fishy. You know, then it came out that maybe it wasn't fishy. And then came out later that it was, you know, fishy. You know, there's three different stories. You know,
You explain for the listeners what the RG3 story was or is, I guess?
Right. Well, it's just, you know, just briefly, basically a woman came out and said RG3 was, you know, sending her, you know, half naked photos on his wedding night, you know, when and she posted a picture of a half shirtless man that she claimed to be RG3, you know, right at the beginning, I said, I thought it was fishy. I didn't think it was, you know, true. Later on in that same day, she comes to find out she was trying to get money, out of some sites, you know, for, you know, certain pictures, which made me to think, well, you know, if she's trying to get money, maybe she does have something, you know, incriminating against them. Later on, the next day, come to find out the whole thing, you know, basically was made up and she was lying. So, you know, we went from, I don't think it's true, to maybe it is true, to no, it's not true at all. And, you know, that's the proper way to handle a story like that, to give yourself some flexibility, and to be honest with people, you know, and let them know, you know, this is what's going on, and get to the truth of the matter, and that's what's, you know, important.
Yeah, I think when you kind of like caught my radar again was when Steve McNair died, and you were kind of like, you guys are covering it, like, you know, it just seemed like y'all were on it, like, boom, this is what's going on, this is what's going on, because that story was changing for on the fly for everybody. It seemed like every source was trying to almost wrap it up and understand it in a very complete way right away. And I remember you dropped a few things where, because I remember for a while people were like, well, it's a suicide and, you know, it's sad and all this stuff. And then I think it was you that was like, well, it sounded like he had a relationship with this chick, and, you know, you know, people are telling me it's not a suicide. Now when you do something like that, do you feel like I'm like almost competitive with it, you know, because you do cover sports and you're a sports enthusiast. Do you have like I'm ahead of ESPN right now. I'm ahead of these other people with what I know.
Well, you have to think like that. You know, the the example that I use is that you're like an independent rapper, you know, and you're selling your CD out the trunk. You know, you don't have the big label, you know, pushing you. So how do you get yourself out there? You got to grind it out. You know, you got to work harder. You got to do more shows. You got to do more tracks. You got to be at the radio station, you know, doing whatever. And, you know, with sports reporting, that's the same way. You know, if ESPN can just, you know, come out there and just say whatever, and, of course, they're going to get the majority of people, you know, citing them as the source. So what you want to do and what you have to do to survive as an independent is you have to beat them, you know, to the punch. You know, I won't use necessarily McNabb as that type of example because, you know, when you're talking about depth, you want to be very – you don't want to see it as a competitive, you know, type of thing. It was just more about this is the information I was getting and, you know, I want to get it out there. But with certain stories, it just surely is. You know, I want people to see that, you know, if they're following me on Twitter, if they're reading the site, that they can get the information quicker about certain things. I mean, there are certain things, you know, if ESPN is a conglomerate, you know, FI is a conglomerate, you know, big sites. There are certain things, you know, we just can't compete with. We have to take what our niche is and be the best of that niche, you know. So when something like, you know, the Lolo Jones story from today, you know, where she got into a fight at the bar and they covered it up, you know, before it's been, you know, 12 hours. ESPN is still not on it. They're going to get on it. But right. I was 12 hours before them. And the reason people know about their story is because of me. And no matter how they try to slice me and everything, people remember that. And that's how you continue to gain followers, readers, and people that want to know your take on certain things.
Now, how important is it that you get credit for that stuff? Because, you know, a lot of times when like ESPN doesn't have doesn't want to take the responsibility for some information, they'll just be like, oh, Black Sports Online said this, or, you know, we got it from this source and other websites, you know, is, well, Lolo Jones, according to Black Sports Online, said that blah, blah, blah. It's like, how important is you getting your credit?
Well, you always want credit if you are the one that deserves, you know, the credit, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. there are certain times where a story, everybody has the same story at the same time. So, you know, I can understand, you know, the credit, you know, being spread around and things like that. There's other times where you know that you started the ball rolling. You know, with the Lolo Jones thing, I know because I checked, you know, 100 times before I wrote the story to see if anybody else was talking about it, and there was nothing out there about it. So, of course, when you do something like that, you want to get, you know, credit for that. But it's one of those things that not just myself, but all, you know, independent media, bloggers, freelancers, or whatever you want to call it, struggle with. Simply because, you know, when you're a big company like ESPN, well, I mean, they don't have to give credit. You know, right. No one's going to do anything, you know, about it. So all you can do is hope, you know, that they do the right thing. But if you keep breaking stories, eventually people start to notice. And it's getting better. I mean, there was a time when nobody credited anybody. I mean, it's getting better. You know, I'm starting to see it a little bit better. And, you know, hopefully ESPN, who at times won't even credit big sites. They won't even credit Yahoo or they won't even credit SI or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, that's something that changes, you know, in the future. But it's one of those type of fights that you're always going to have, you know, as an independent, you know, getting the proper credit for basically your hard work.
Now, did you ever have people come to you saying, well, I work for someone else, but that outlet won't allow me to go with this story or to talk about this opinion that I have? Can I write it on Black Sports Online and just not put my name on it?
We've gotten people that have given us stories from major media outlets that, you know, wouldn't run it. Or they thought it was a good scoop and it was, you know, too controversial. So we get tips and things like that. It's really more the opposite, you know, where, you know, we write a story that is buzzing and popular and, you know, certain mainstream media outlets won't run it. You know, because it's, you know, either from us or it's just, you know, they just are scared, you know, to run it. I mean, that's still the one advantage, you know, that we have. Now, is it an advantage that it's starting to kind of slip away? Because slowly but surely, the mainstream media outlets are starting to act a lot more like bloggers. I mean, you go to Fox Sports, you go to ESPN, you go to SI, you look around, there's a lot more story, BSO style stories on there than there was in 2011, 2010, 2012. They read the numbers just like, you know, we do. And they know that that's what people want to hear, the more, you know, TMZ style stories. So it just makes us have to work, you know, doubly hard, because now they're trying to infringe on our, on our territory, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Now, what about, Twitter? Because, like, I don't even, like, I know a couple people that are in sports and stuff. I follow some sports personalities that follow me back and stuff like that, but I'm nowhere really in the sports world. And Twitter has been like, oh, it'll open doors for you without you even trying, where people pop up in my direct message with like, man, you ain't gonna believe this crazy story about so-and-so that I know that they're not supposed to be telling me. And I definitely can't be talking about, and I can't be saying any names, but it's just like the information is true, and Twitter basically opened that door. Social media opens that door where it's like, hey, I can send Rob a private message and tell him about, you know, ESPN personality X and how he's doing this thing that I could not have done, without social media. So like, how much has social media, you know, enabled you to cover more stuff and like enabled you to build relationships with people?
Well, social media changed the game. It's the reason, you know, I have a dog right now and not a corporate job. it literally, you know, changed the game. And the reason I can say that maybe a little bit better than others is because I was around before social media. So back in the day, you know, it was a lot harder to get your information out to people. You just didn't have as many, you know, outlets. It's one of the reasons probably why you saw me back on SOHH was because, you know, you had to get your information out there somehow, and you didn't have a lot of ways to do it. So I think you built up a base, you know, beforehand, and then you bring social media in, and now, you know, with the, you know, one click, you know, there's 10,000-15,000 people that are seeing your article or your post, and it goes to Facebook, and it goes to Google Plus and Pinterest and all these other things, stuff on Instagram. All these type of avenues now that people can find your information, and it's allowed to expand. And like you said, the second part of that is that people that you have never known about you, important people, you know, influential people, now can see you and follow you and find out, you know, what you're doing. I always try to tell people, some of the most influential people, the powerful people that have contacted me are not people with a bunch of followers. You know, they can have 300, 400 followers, but they can be the vice president of marketing at, you know, NBC, you know, for all we know, because, you know, people just are watching.
Right.
And people are seeing, and they can see your influence, and they can see what you're talking about, and they can see your writing, and they can see your site and all of that stuff. So it changed the entire game, and also now you can get information a lot quicker. Whereas before, if a story happened, what would you have to do? You'd have to watch SportsCenter. You'd have to, you know, maybe be on ESPN.com. You know, maybe you get an email about it or something. Now, everything that happens is happening, you know, in real time. There's a no-hitter, it's happening, you know, it's happening in real time. Somebody get arrested, somebody tweets it, and then with a mugshot, real time. So you can get your stories up fast, you can get more content out. You can communicate and get more information, you know, quickly. One of the things that we're going to try when the NFL season starts is that we're going to use Vine or Instagram to do, like, instant highlights, you know, whereas before, you know, a crazy highlight happened in the NFL, you'd have to record it, go to YouTube, you know, put it up on your site. You know, that whole process could take, you know, 15, you know, 20 minutes, you know, maybe 30 minutes, depending on how long the video was. You know, now with Vine or with Instagram, you know, somebody scores a crazy touchdown, you pop your phone out, you put it up, it's on Twitter, and, you know, what, 2 minutes. And then you can take it and embed it and put it up on your site, and you got an instant highlight within 5 minutes of it happening. And that's what people like. They like immediacy. They want to know what's going on right now. They don't want to wait an hour. They don't want to wait 5 hours. They want to know what's going right now. And that's how social media has allowed people like myself to become somewhat known, you know, in the media industry. So it could be a gift and a curse at times. But for me, like I said, got a dog now. I sit on my couch. I do my work and everything. And that's all because of the changes that have been made, you know, with social media.
Now, when did you first feel like this is getting successful? Were there any landmark events for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I used to work at a corporate job. And ironically, the last position, you know, that I had with the corporate job was in social media. I was working for a cable company and handling their social media department. But I never forget is that, you know, you get paid, you know, every 2 weeks or whatever. And I got a check, you know, for my regular job and everything. And then I got some checks from BSO. And for the first time ever, the checks from BSO was more than the check, you know, for my regular job. And it's very difficult to work a regular job when you're making more money doing something that you own and that you are the head of and you don't have a boss. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I mentally checked out of my corporate job. Now, I stayed there for a little bit longer, but mentally I was gone. I was already gone. And eventually, you know, as the BSO check started to get bigger and the corporate check stayed the same, it just was like, I'm not getting any, you know, younger. If I'm going to do it, I got to take the leap. And, you know, one day I just went into my boss's office and said, look, appreciate everything you did for me. I'm bouncing in 2 weeks. I'm going to do this full time. And hopefully I don't have to come back. And I quit in September of 2010. Mm. And I told myself, I said, if I can make it through to January, because Christmas, and I had a little girl at Christmas and rent and all that stuff. So if I can make it to January and not be close to bankruptcy or anything, I'm going to be okay. And I barely made it to January, and I haven't looked back, you know, since.
That's awesome, man. That's a great, you gotta start somewhere. And I feel like every success story has that moment where you have to have the fuck you moment. You know, we're just like, man, fuck this. I can do better. I think I can do this on my own or whatever. And that's dope, man. I know it was definitely hard looking at both sets of checks and being like, you know, I could get paid to not be here, because I know when I was working my regular job, you know, I would talk to coworkers every once in a while, and they, you know, someone would find out about the show and stuff, and they'd follow me on Twitter, see our Facebook page, and they'd be like, man, you got so many followers, you got so many Facebook fans for your show. And I was like, I think I might be the most famous person in this building, but I'm still sitting up here going to this job. I gotta figure out how to make money off this shit.
And that's a very hard thing to do. And I used to try to keep, you know, what I did, you know, for BSO separate from my corporate job, because when they find out, and in your mind, you know, hey, in this world, I'm somebody, you know, on my own and handling it on my own. And in my corporate world, I'm under somebody.
Yes.
And it's just hard to work, you know, like that. And so when you can, you know, make that move, if you can, you know, do it on a, you know, be responsible with it. I don't want anybody to quit and then, you know, do food stamps. Or anything, but you know,
they're gonna be writing Black Sports Online on Twitter.
Yeah, I quit. And don't quit, like I said, if it didn't work out, we may still be talking, but I'll be like, hey, man, I gotta get off the phone. But if you can, just remember, you know, we only got one life, so if you gotta, you gotta take a chance, you gotta take some risks sometime and hopefully it works out.
Now, are there any sports personalities, or like athletes that you don't like?
You know, I try to keep my personal, you know, feelings, you know, out of most of it. First off, if I don't know you, like know you, it's hard for me to dislike anybody that I don't know. Like, I think some people are clowns. You know, I think Dwight Howard's a clown. But do I personally have any, you know, angst against him or get mad, or if I saw him in the street, you know, want to punch him or anything? No. I don't feel like that, you know, but if he asked me if I thought he was a clown, I would say, yeah, I think you're a clown. You know, I wouldn't want to hang out with you or anything. I try to be as neutral as possible. When it comes to sports media people, you know, that's the thing. Everybody, you know, has been pretty, you know, nice to me. Even the sports media people that I get on, like Skip Bayless, mm-hmm. like, I don't have anything personal against Skip. I actually hear that Skip's a very, you know, nice guy. Now, I think his act is fake and WWE-ish,
yeah.
you know, but personally, you know, you have to separate. Like, I try not to have any any personal feelings one way or another toward anybody. Now, I've met some very nice people. I like some people in the industry. I've met a lot of, you know, athletes, interviewed with them, seem like very nice people, but in the end, you know, I have a job, and my job is to report about sports and athletes and things that are going on with the media, and to continue to be unbiased as possible. You know, you can't have a lot of personal feelings, you know, one way or the other. I actually, just quick story about that. You know, growing up, huge fan of Deion Sanders, favorite football player, you know, of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I wouldn't say he was an idol, but he was someone I wanted to be like Deion. I had the jewelry, I high stepped when I was in high school, all of this stuff. And I got to interview him, and like, I get to interview Deion Sanders and all of this stuff, and everything was great, and I met him, and all this good stuff. And literally, no more than a month after all of that is when this whole divorce thing happened.
Oh.
And, you know, people was cheating, and Pilar and his daughter, and all of these people was going in, and I had to make a decision. You know, this is the guy that I grew up as my favorite player, but Deion Sanders don't pay my bills. You
right.
know, and at that point, you know, you have to write the story. You know, you can't worry about, hey, this guy was my idol, this guy's somebody that I looked up to. You know, the fact of the matter is, there's some girl saying that they got naked pictures of Deion in the bed. I mean, you just got to do, you know, what you got to do. And I've lived by that, you know, from the entire time.
And at that point,
the story is what's important.
And at that point, people would notice the absence of the story because you cover everything, so it would be like, wait a minute, so you skipping over the story, like, what's going on?
It would be hypocritical, and it, yeah. you know, if it's one thing I don't like, it's hypocrites. And if I, same thing with, you know, Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson, is that, you know, Chad would tweet me or Chad would say something to me, and I've had, you know, dinner with Chad, you know, before, so, but that doesn't matter. You know, if you get arrested, you gotta report it. You know,
right.
if you're going to jail, you know, if you're doing bad things, you know, I got to report it. I mean, that's just life, you know, and there's no favoritism, no matter how cool you may think we are. You know, I'm not going to, you know, play favorites. Now, I'm going to tell both sides of the story, you know, just like when he got, sent back to jail for slapping his, you know, attorney's butt. At first, I was like, man, why would Chad do something so stupid like that? And then I saw the video and saw that the judge overreacted. Then I'm going to, you know, go after the judge. You know, it has nothing to do with, you know, my personal feelings toward Chad is just, I just see situations. I try not to see names or my personal feelings. I just see the situations and cover them from there.
Now, has anybody surprised you when you met him in person? Because I know there's, like, you know, other journalists or athletes, you know, that have, like, public personalities, and then you meet them and you're just like, oh, that's, you know, that's not the impression I came away with until I met, you know, when I didn't know him.
Not really. I mean, most of them have a, you know, media persona, and then, you know, they have a, you know, a non-media persona. Like I said, for the most part, most of them are at least put on the face of being, you know, nice guys. I've never had too much of a problem. Besides that time that, you know, me and Kenya Martin were going to fight.
I didn't know about that. Hold up, man. I didn't know about, can't skip over that, bro. You know, Kmart not one of them dudes I want to mess with. So what happened there?
The story, I've told the story before, is that I wrote a post about him getting those, he had those lips, trainer lips on, he had got tattooed on his neck.
Yeah.
And I made fun of him, during the playoffs. This was a few years ago. Made fun of him during the playoffs. And ironically, I was in LA, you know, for the Estes. I was at the Roosevelt, you know, hotel, and he was there with Carmelo and all of these people. And a girl, I guess, knew them, and she actually introduced me. And she was like, hey, this is Rob from Black Sports Online, and, you know, this is Carmelo, and this is, you know, Kenya Martin and everything. And he was like, hey, man, you was the one that, you know, made fun of me, you know, about my tattoo. And I looked at him and said, yeah, man, it's ridiculous. I mean, I said it right.
Now, Rob, at this moment, though, is part of you like, oh, shit, Kenya Martin read my story, you know, like kind of like excited, like, you know, like, yo, even Kmart reads Black Sports Online. That's what's up.
I don't know if I was, you know, I don't know if I was excited, but I was maybe it was a couple of drinks that I had. I don't know if I was excited. I was curious about what was going to happen next. But, yeah. you know, in my mind, you know how you have, like, you know, those conversations in your head?
Yeah.
You know, why things are, like, happening in real time? That's what was going on. So, basically, when he said, you know, oh, you was the guy that made, you know, fun of my, you know, tattoo, my part of my brain that was talking to myself was like, well, Rob, and, yeah, this is a long time ago, 2009. Yeah. So, this is before, you know, I would say I was even considered, you know, somewhat popular, mm-hmm. 2009, 2010, somewhere in that time. My mind was like, well, look, Rob, either you're going to be a man and say what you got to say, or, you know, you're going to be a punk and try to kiss up and do all of that. So, you know, at some point, you just got to, you know, do what you got to do.
Right.
And, you know, I said it, I wrote it, so there was no reason, you know, no need to backtrack on it. So, yeah, I told him. I said, yeah, man, you know, it looks ridiculous. And he kind of looked at me, and, you know, I looked at him, and Carmelo was looking, and then he said, you know, I can, you know, kick your ass, you know, right now. And I said, yeah, probably, but I'm going out swinging. And then in the end, somebody's going to hurt one person more than is going to hurt the other. So my point was, yeah, we can fight. You probably are going to win. I'm going to get at least one punch in. You know, so at least I can tell, you know, my kid, you know, I got one punch in before, you know, I got knocked out. But in the end, you know, it's still going to be Kenyon Martin beats up Blogger. Blogger wins $1 million in lawsuits. You know, so what's going, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. We can bang, but, you know, in the end, you're going to be the one that's going to be taking more of a hit than me. And I can see his mind processing at that time. Carmelo still looking. Carmelo was drunk at the time. I don't think he just thought the whole thing was funny.
Right.
And in the end, we all had a drink together. I had my drink with him. And, you know, I went about my business. And at that point, you know, you got to stand behind what you write. And there's been other, you know, athletes that have came up to me, especially since then, you know, be like, you said this or you said that. And my, you know, a lot of times they just want to correct it and say, hey, man, it didn't happen like that or blah, blah, blah. Other times, you know, they just want to see if you're going to stand behind what you say, because a lot of bloggers, a lot of independent media really are just glorified groupies, and they just have a site to try to get close to, you know, to get to the athletes.
Right.
Know? To me, you know, it's never been like that. You know,
shit, not, hey, know, even a lot of,
my name.
Even yeah. a lot of journalists, Rob.
True. This is true. Journalists in general are really, I mean, because our journalists start off as sports fans. We just couldn't play the game. So, you know, we end up, you know, writing about sports. So, but the thing about it is, you know, it's my name that's on the site. You know, my dad told me something a long time ago. He said, hey, he, it's better to be the number one Rob, you know, or than to be the number two of some other guy's, you know, crew. Mm. You know, be your own, you know, self. Be number one in your own team and everything. And I live by that. So if I say something, if I write something, and, you know, you want to talk to me about it, you know, we can talk about it. We can talk about it, you know, like men. Because I don't curse anybody out. You know, I don't call anybody out of their name. I mean, like I said, the worst I may call somebody is a clown, you know, or an idiot right. or something like that. But that's something that I say to people's face. You know, I'm not going to call you the N-word, or I'm not right. going to call you a bitch or anything that I wouldn't want called back, you know, to me. Somebody calls me a clown, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It ain't going to bother me. You call me a bitch, we're going to be fighting problems.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think about that type of stuff when, you know, when I'm writing.
Yeah, it's definitely some fighting words that people put out there a little casually as sports fans, which always has disturbed me, because I'm a sports fan, but I'm not that type with that feels this ownership of these athletes and feels like, you make too much money, I can talk shit about you, that's what you get paid for. Like, nah, at the end of the day, these dudes are real people, and you calling somebody a bitch might be something that they need to rectify to your face. It is nothing. You know, I wouldn't fault that person at all. I remember, I was playing ball with Steve Smith, the Carolina Panther. And this is before he was like known as Steve Smith. He was still like returning kicks and shit. I didn't know what he looked like. I just was playing ball with the dude, and we got into a little altercation over basketball. And, you know, he threatened, he's like, I'll, you know, I'll fuck you up or whatever. I'm like, man, whatever, you ain't about to do shit. And he left, and then everybody turned to me and said, hey, man, that was Steve Smith. and I like felt ghost white. I had to sit down, bruh. Like, I, cause that was right after he had messed up that, I don't know if people remember the first time he punched a teammate was in a film session. He punched a dude and it basically ended his career, like broke his nose and everything. And I was like, man, that, I could have got right now, not even paying attention. You know, I would just been another dude that got fucked up by Steve Smith. And I don't even think he had that much money at the time. So I wouldn't even been like, I'm going to get $1 million. I've just been a broke dude with a fucked up nose. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, like I said, there are certain things, like I see that a lot on social media. You know, people say certain things that they would never say to people's face. So, I, you know, my rule is if I tweet it, if I write it, if I Facebook it or whatever, I have to know in my mind that I would say it, you know, to the person's face. And a lot of people have called me names. And when I say, okay, well, you know, I'm not hard to find. I mean, I have Foursquare. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in your city. You know, I've never had anybody come up to me and say anything. So I think that's weak, you know. So anything that you're going to say on a social media site or on a blog or on a website or in an interview or radio or podcast or whatever, you should be mad enough if you run into that particular person that you know, should be able to say it to their face.
No doubt, man. Now, what's the next thing? I guess you were talking about the Vine and Instagram. Like, is there any other platforms or things you want to take Black Sports Online to?
The one thing, first off, that we started to do more in 2013 is that I wanted to cover more live events. You know, I think it's real easy to just sit at home and just write stories all day, but that's never been, you know, my goal. So me and my staff, you know, we be out, you know, working. We go to events, you know, 3-4 times a month in different locations, different cities, be it sporting events or, you know, I think last week my Glenn was in New York. Cause Shaq was debuting his soda. I mean, we try to do, you know, things outside of the site. I mean, if you want to just sit at home and do your site, you know, that's fine. But I think it adds to your credibility, you know, when you actually go out and show some journalism chops. So that's one thing that we've been doing a lot in 2013. Coming up, you're going to see some other things that are coming up. We're kind of diversifying. I mean, I'm actually going to be at Jet Magazine this upcoming month.
Oh, snap, player.
My mom really be excited about that.
No doubt, man. Be up there by that Beauty of the Week.
Maybe I'll be close. we want to do some more. We want to do some TV. You know, I've been doing a lot of radio spots, you know, NBC Radio, Yahoo Radio. So there's a lot of diversifying of the product, you know.
Okay.
The blog or the site, I don't even like calling the blog because it went past a blog a long time ago.
Right.
The site is a foundation, you know. It's what we use as a jump off point to all of these other things, and we want to be total media. We don't just want to be known as an internet site. We want to be known as a full fledged, you know, media entity. And you know, that's what we're going to keep, you know, striving for the rest of 2013 and on to 2014.
No doubt, man. I always love to see people with Black in the title succeed. And you know, it will be real dope if one day I'm listening to Black Sports Online Radio and Black Sports Online got a YouTube channel and TV and stuff, man. That would be real dope, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Like, I've always wonder what it would be like to talk to that Tao, as we affectionately call you. I always wonder, like, what is this dude like? Because I know you just always see you grinding and always see you you know, putting yourself out there. And I think you're definitely a person that if someone's looking for someone to model their online personas and online branding and all of that stuff and look at what hard work can get you and incorporating other people and being professional. I think a lot of people could learn from you, man. So I thank you so much for doing the show.
I know. I appreciate your time and you having me on and giving me an outlet to tell my story. You're going to do big things. So I'll be looking forward to everything that you're going to be doing going forward as well.
All right. I appreciate it, Rob. Make sure you guys out there, all the fans of the show, go check out Black Sports Online. Follow him on Twitter, Black Sports Online, and it's BLK Sports Online. You follow him on Twitter, it's going to be hard to stop because, like I said, like every maybe 10th tweet is also going to be like hey man, Ashanti was playing softball. And you gotta click. You gotta click it, man. It's no choice. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, people. We'll talk to you next time on Medium Talk. Peace.